The following message was given by Brother Roger Fitz and Dennis Cooley in the church in New York City on the Lord's Day, December 15, 2019. The title of the message is Material Offerings and Full-Time Service. Scripture verses: Philippians chapter 4, verse 17 through 19. John chapter 12, verse 3. Hebrews chapter 13, verses 5, 15, and 16. Romans chapter 12, verses 1 through 4. Romans chapter 14, verses 7 to 9. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 15. Matthew chapter 24, verses 45 to 47.
Praise the Lord, saints. I'm very thankful that we are going through this material right now as the church. We have a lot of new ones among us, and also some who have been with us many, many years. So just like to say, if this is your third meeting, it might seem like we talk about material giving every week, because this is the third week we've been in this morning revival content. And the truth is, we don't really talk about it that much. Because we want to focus on the Lord. But as the brothers have pointed out in recent weeks, there is an undeniable connection between material giving and loving the Lord and going on with the Lord and enjoying your salvation and being with a full, rich entrance into the kingdom, right? So I am very thankful that we're on this matter. And today, of course, with an emphasis on serving the Lord, right? That as we offer to the Lord, in a sense, the Lord doesn't just want our money, right? He's omnipotent. He can buy anything. So he doesn't need our money on the one hand. But on the other hand, he needs our money, because where your treasure is, there will your heart be also.
Amen.
And so in our receiving our offering, the Lord gains our heart. But it's not enough to hand over our money without handing over ourselves. Because what does the Lord really want? He really wants us. He really wants you. He really wants me. And so I know that we all need to hear this word, because I know I need to hear it, and I know that you're all just like me. And the situation is that in experiencing regeneration, we enjoy the Lord, right? And then there's this secondary matter of being delivered from mammon. It might happen all at once, but the truth is, as we receive more, we have to continually keep giving away, right? Otherwise, it comes back. And so we have to have a continual dealing of this matter in our Christian life until we are wholly the Lord's. And, you know, none of the brothers that have stood up here have said, I'm fully consecrated in every way. You know, the Lord knows the extent of our consecration or the lack of our consecration or our heart to have a renewed consecration, right? The Lord knows that, and everything is before his eyes. And the brothers also shared that we don't need a lot of doctrine. What we really need are the testimonies of the giving of the saints. That is a precious fragrance. So I'm just so thankful we could be in this fellowship. So again, if this is your third week, you're hearing it again. But really, we don't get into it too frequently. One brother said we had not done this here in the congregation meeting here in New York City. So it's an opportunity to have more fellowship. So first of all, I'd like to just say that, this matter of giving, when we give, we enjoy the blessing. But we might have a kind of a natural idea of what is blessing. We give, and then we get money, right? That might be one concept that we could have, and that is like an Old Testament idea. Abraham was blessed by God. He certainly prospered. But I would like to point out a few things about this matter of blessing. First of all, the word blessing means the good word. So actually, it's not money necessarily. It could be money. And in the Old Testament, things had a physical manifestation to show us the spiritual reality. Right? So, Abraham was blessed. Hallelujah. So the good word, the Greek word is, verse Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3, if we could pull that up. It says, if we've got it there, we can all read it together.
Blessed be God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly in Christ.
So this word here, Brother Lee pointed out to us in the fellowship through the life study, blessed is the Greek word ev, which means good, and logos, which is word. It's the good word. It's the good speaking. Blessed be our God and Father. He's blessed. There's only a good speaking about God. The God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing, not in our pocketbook necessarily, but in the heavenlies, in his greatest treasure, Christ. So I just would like to submit that the blessing we enjoy is multidimensional. It's not just one thing, but rather God blesses in a fashion that surpasses time. It's an amazing thing. Mammon is a physical thing, right? It's a physical thing. One brother pointed out last week very aptly, it's tangible. It's very tangible to us. And yet, this offering can transcend its realm and participate in something divine, mystical, eternal, from ages to ages. So we should pay attention. So blessed be the God and Father. Now, of course, God spoke, and his speaking is the word of God. There's no better speaking than Christ. Amen. So to be blessed is, what would God say about you? You know, not just like a eulogy and platitudes. No, he would say Christ, because Christ has been wrought into us through this transaction, if you understand what I mean. We're giving to the Lord. Forget about the money. We're giving ourselves to the Lord, and we're getting him in return. He's imparting himself into us. So I will say one little word here. There is something today known as the prosperity gospel. This is a kind of a something that if you watch TV, sometime you may encounter it, where give and you'll get rich. Well, God's heart's desire for us is not to make us rich except in Christ, but his desire is to make us just like him. Hallelujah. Not only so, he wants to build us up in the church and to begin to enter into the reality of the one new man. Hallelujah. Right? To subdue his enemy by expressing him. This was the recent utterance from a recent conference. So this is what the Lord is really doing, and this is what we hope to enjoy and enter into to a greater extent. And the brothers have also pointed out it's not fundraising, right? We shouldn't have that kind of an idea either. And certainly there are conventional ways of doing these things, which we really want to have nothing to do with that, right? You think about, how does organization X raise money? They might, if you offer a certain amount of money, you can get your name on something. Well, nothing in this meeting hall is for sale. Even if you have $10 million, you will not get your name on it. We do not do things like that around here. How come? Well, in Matthew chapter 6, verses 1 through 4, we see an important principle of giving by the Lord. So let's just go to Matthew chapter 6, and we can just read these verses together carefully concerning the righteous deeds of the kingdom people. Okay, let's go ahead and read this. Do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your alms be in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will repay you. So here, gets into this matter of the deeds and even, you know, giving alms. So you could say, what's wrong with doing good? That's a good thing. We should do good. But actually, there is an underlying problem that we have, which is our flesh, and our self, which seeks to be glorified. And we could do a lot of good deeds, and we would not, the body of Christ would not be produced, especially if it's in a way of receiving glory. And in these verses, our brother had a lot of light, so that they may be gazed at. That's the motivation, the underlying motivation, has a fallen aspect to it. And it can derail and corrupt the experience that the Lord wants us to have through our giving. So you will find this important principle that we try to adhere to here of giving in secret. And I want to share one testimony about a brother I know. He wanted to give a substantial sum of money to the church, but he wanted to adhere to this matter of not letting the left hand know what the right hand was doing. So, well, if he hands the money to someone, they're going to know. If he writes a check, it's going to have his name on it. So what could he do? So he went and he got a very large money order so that he could give that in secret and no one would know. And I really feel like what's one side of our experience is, you know, we could talk about some burden that I have, but if it's not necessary, it's not necessary to know, keep it in secret, and the Lord will bless that. He who sees in secret will repay us in secret. But on the other hand, we're in the body of Christ, and there are needs in the body, and we have to have fellowship, and these are some of the other verses that we read, having fellowship with the apostle and giving for the need of the body. There's a covering, and there is a blessing, and there is the Lord's outflow for the building of the body and the blending of the body. So I felt like we wanted to just point that out as well, that we do need to be those having fellowship. There may be a need, and we just don't know about it. So anyways, I just wanted to mention that. And then also, as we move through these verses here, let's come down to chapter 6, verse 24 of Matthew. This is related to the deliverance from mammon. And we can read it together, yeah. Amen. So here it's very clear that you may not think that your money is a god, but actually, in the biblical terms, by the word of the Lord himself, we can only serve God or mammon. And so we have to have a thorough deliverance from this matter of mammon. But, and I really appreciated the brother's sharing, it's not about how much money. It's not about rich and poor. We saw that in chapter 18. It's difficult for a rich man to enter into the kingdom, right? Even impossible, you could say, because the rich young ruler went away sorrowing. He didn't stay with the Lord to find the way to get through the eye of the needle. And he was a rich young ruler. Then in chapter 19, we have, hallelujah, an old tax collector, old but short, not so handsome probably. He was a tax collector, but the Lord said, come down here. And he came down, right? Right, Peter? He came down and the camel passed through the eye of a needle in chapter 19. So all things are possible with God. It is not about rich. It's not about poor. It's a matter of our heart. Amen. Right? Does the mammon have sway over us? That is the question. And for this, we need to have a deliverance. And I really appreciate, I was up at Penuel, and a brother came to me and he said, brother, I'm just having a hard time loving the Lord right now. And I said, oh, do you know what the church is about to get into? Material offering for the Lord's move. And he said, I give. And I right away, I realized, okay, I'm not saying you don't give. Please don't get me wrong. But we have to have a very vital, living, fresh contact with the Lord to stay living. And I appreciated Brother Nee's utterance. He said that the deliverance from mammon is the pathway to revival, to re-experience the joy of our salvation. So it's a serious matter. We receive the eternal life, we enter into the kingdom of God, and we enjoy this salvation to the full. So as we said, it's not a matter of just handing over our money. What good would that be if the Lord doesn't receive our hearts as well? Okay, so and again, we don't have a whole lot of time, so I can't go too long, but I just want to share a few things, and I'll hand it over to Brother Dennis to share, and we want to leave time for all of your testimonies and experiences. But as we said, one of these matters of giving is that ultimately we would give ourselves to the Lord, and this week touches on the matter of serving the Lord with our full time. So full disclosure, I want to just say this. We shouldn't have a thought that the ones who serve full-time with their time are the only full-timers, right? Actually, we're all full-timers, and that's what I appreciated from the ministry this week and from our practice, that we're actually all full-time. Whether we serve the Lord with 40 hours a week, which ends up being a lot more than that, or whether we serve the Lord on a job and serve the Lord with our peripheral time and our living, we are all full-time for the Lord, right? It's not for a special group of people, it's for the church. And so, and our brother pointed out that there's a need for some who would earn money to support the need of the Lord and the needs in the body appropriately, but that in principle, we're all serving the Lord. So I just wanted to say, at the current time, I have a full-time job. I have a full-time family, praise the Lord. I have a full-time church life, hallelujah. So it's busy, right? You can imagine, and that's okay. Our life has seasons, right? Some seasons are a certain way. So, but what I wanted to say was, when I was younger, I did have the opportunity to serve full-time. It was a beautiful experience. About 7 years of serving the Lord full-time with my full-time. And then at a certain point in life, when the season turned, it was time to serve the Lord full-time, working, raising a family, and serving the church. In that experience of serving the Lord full-time, I had an experience that was really, really something. Brother Phil and I, we know each other from the full-time training. We lived in the same house together. And at that time, there was a move to go to Russia. And so some of us were going to go to Russia. And in going to Russia, what do you do? I mean, I didn't have any money. I'd been, not earning a lot for a number of years, which was okay. As a student, I didn't make really any money. I had a job eventually. After the training, there was an opportunity, after college, there was an opportunity to do work in this new industry that was coming out. I was positioned for it. I just finished my degree in that. It's brand new. One of the brothers was the general counsel to the equivalent of Bill Gates in this industry, who's still working as a Bill Gates in that industry. So it was perfect, right? But go to the full-time training. And I was happy to do it. I was happy to give that to the Lord and have that experience. Then at the end of the training, it was time to go to Russia. Well, what do we know about Russia? It's cold in Russia, okay? It really is cold in Russia. We had a polar vortex last winter, but that's not as cold as it gets in Russia. And so I needed a pair of boots. And I was fellowshipping with this brother, and he said, "Brother, I feel from the Lord to give you something for your boots." I said, "Thank you, brother." So he offered, and I'll tell you how much it was. It was $78 for a pair of boots. We prayed over what kind of boots to get, right? Got a pair of sorrel boots and went to Russia with those boots. And those boots, they were shodding my feet as we preached the gospel. They weren't sandals, but my feet were shod, thankfully. And the temperature that one particular day was minus 25, and the wind was blowing 30 miles an hour. That wasn't the coldest day, but that was that day. And it was driving snow, and we were positioned out in a field, which was a long ways from the subway station to the front door of the school, the institution. And we were just about four brothers standing out there, trying to keep your hands warm like this, and then you hand out a track. As these people were streaming by, they're just like this, what's this? But a few people received the gospel tract, and the gospel got preached, thanks to that brother's giving. Now, it didn't end in Russia, though, because when I came back to the U.S., we were in Manhattan. And it seemed like for a number of years that we just had blizzard after blizzard after blizzard, right? 20 inches, 18 inches, and there we were, wearing those boots. Those boots were serving the Lord, right? Out there shoveling the stretch in front of the Manhattan Meeting Hall. Getting built up with the ushers and the serving saints. We had a lot of experiences at the Manhattan Hall. Those boots served the Lord. Would you believe it if I told you those boots are still serving the Lord? 22 years later, those boots, they'll go 40. Right? In Deuteronomy 29, the clothes didn't get old. Those boots are just like brand new. That brother, he gave a small sum. He received a blessing in a realm that we cannot articulate. that blessing spills over to me. It spills over to the church. I mean, that is the giving that accrues to your account and increase, and that increase is for eternity, right? So that was one example. It's more blessed to give than to receive. So the emphasis we've been giving is on giving. But on the other hand, giving and receiving are two sides of the same thing, right? Giving and receiving. We have to be those willing to receive. And sometimes that's hard, right? And I tell this one testimony. I was on a road trip churching. We went through Atlanta, but I didn't know Phil back then. And I got to a certain place in Louisiana, and I was fine. I had money. I had enough money. And this brother offered me $20 for gas money. And I thought to myself, does he really think that I drove all the way from Seattle to Louisiana and I don't have gas money? You know, it's like a little bit of pride there, a little bit of the self, right? And so the initial reaction, no, I don't need it. I don't need it. It's okay, I'm okay. Later on, a brother shared with me, when a saint offers and you reject it, you cut the blessing off to yourself and to that brother. And I thought, wow, Lord Jesus, we have to have a receiving heart as well. To receive could be an offering of money. It could be the food the saints served us at their home. Maybe all they have is a baked potato. And we say, praise the Lord. And we receive, and then the blessing comes, and the increase comes, and we enjoy this blessing. And just really quickly on this matter of Mary pouring out her love offering is so beautiful. I know you saints will all share all the riches behind this, but there's a fragrance that fills the house that far surpasses, no matter how great was the worth of that alabaster flask, as her life savings, as her dowry, her future, it multiplies in ways that words fail us. So, but I want to say this one thing. Mary, with the Lord's move, because it's in time, there is a matter of the window of opportunity. We often think, oh, not today, next week. I'm very busy right now. Oh, next year, it's definitely going to get easier. And we may have this kind of future mentality that can rob us of the experience to seize the opportunity to pour out on the Lord and be blessed by Him, right? Let us not miss those. It's too late now, in a sense, to participate in the blessing of buying the Manhattan Meeting Hall in 2003, right? It's too late. The boat sailed. We just have to, may we be those who are being drawn to the Lord, to love the Lord, and to pour out in such a way that our whole life would be for Him. Brothers and sisters, He gave His only begotten Son. He gave everything. May we be those who respond and enjoy this kind of experience with the Lord.
Amen. It's 12, 1 and 2 again.
I exhort you, therefore, brothers, through the compassion of God, to present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and well-pleasing to God, which is a reasonable service.
In Romans 12, it speaks of the matter of consecration. And consecration here in this chapter, and we're going to read some verses from Romans 14 as well, is related to the body of Christ. And the topic that we are in these few weeks, and we will be for a couple more weeks, is on material offerings and the Lord's move today. And I'd like to connect these two things in this title. And I want to emphasize what our brother mentioned, and I think the brothers have mentioned in the last couple of weeks. The Lord is not out for our money. He doesn't need our money. He owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. He has plenty of riches. He doesn't need us. But He is after you. He's after me. He wants us to give ourselves to Him. And with us comes everything we have and everything we own. That is His desire. That is His burden. And that is what Romans 12, 1 and 2 is talking about, that we would present our bodies. We are living in a physical body. And when you present your body, that means you present everything to the Lord and give everything to the Lord for His body. In this section of Romans, there are two bodies here. One is our little body, our physical body, and one is the body of Christ. And we like to present our bodies. That's what Paul is asking for. This is what the Lord desires, is that we would give our body for the body of Christ and to the Lord for the body of Christ. And Romans 14, maybe we can look at those verses again. Chapter 14, verses 7 through 9. Let's read it together. For none of us live to ourselves, and none died to ourselves. Whether we live to the Lord, and whether we die to the Lord. Therefore, whether we live or we die, we are the Lord's. For Christ died and lived again for this, that he might be the Lord both. So why do we talk about the matter of riches? It is because we talk about the matter of riches is because the Lord said, and Roger mentioned this verse, where your treasure is, there your heart is also. Our heart is part of our body. Heart is part of our being. And if our heart is on the riches, then it is not for the Lord. Where your heart is, there where your treasure is, there your heart is also. So if we give ourselves to the Lord, which includes all of our possessions, our money to the Lord, surely our heart is there for the Lord and with the Lord for His body. And the verses in chapter 14 are very practical. Why? What are we doing when we give ourselves to the Lord and present our bodies to the Lord? It is so that we would live to Him. Not live to ourselves, that we would live to Him. One of the greatest hindrances to our consecration is riches. If our heart is on our money, it's very hard for our heart to be for the Lord and consecrated to the Lord. And one of the greatest problems or hindrances to the body is individualism. And whenever you love money, you're very individualistic, because you want it for yourself. You want to keep it for yourself, or you want more for yourself. So unless we overcome this by giving ourselves to the Lord, giving all that we are to the Lord and all that we have to the Lord, it's hard to overcome individualism. The body is a matter of a corporate living of the members of the body. And, you know, I think all of us have some experience. It's so precious to be in the church life. And to enjoy the Lord in the church life. You know, we've had the brothers here from Atlanta this week, and we thoroughly enjoyed our prayer together yesterday morning. I think we prayed for about an hour or so together. Just to be together in the body, opening to the Lord, praying for the Lord's interest, is the greatest joy on earth. It's just the greatest joy on earth. I mean, after that hour, I just felt like, okay, I can die right now. I'm fine. Everything is good. Because you're just one with the Lord, and you're one with all the members of His body. There is no greater place to live than in the body of Christ. We have, you know, some, you know, the scriptures tell us we have so many fathers, so many mothers, so many brothers and sisters. Where is that? That is in the body of Christ. And every member has a function, and we need every member's function. And all the functions aren't the same. Praise the Lord for that. Because there are so many things that I don't have that I need, and you have them. So many things that you need that you don't have, and others have them. In the body, we have all that we need, and we have everything is there for us to give ourselves to the body of Christ. I'm glad Roger mentioned full-time is not just dropping your job and not having a job to be full-time. Brother Lee gave a very famous message out from, and during that message, we sang that hymn 473, No Mortal Tongue Can E'er Describe the Freedom of the Soul. When passed beyond all earthly bribe, that's the love of money, right? To God's complete control. And in that message, he emphasized every one of us are full-time. Every believer is full-time. You're a full-time Christian, am I right? And so every One of us needs to live to the Lord. That is being full-time. Whether you have a job or not isn't the issue. Whether you live to the Lord is the issue. That's the matter that's of importance here. And we would live to the Lord with our job, in our family life, or without a job in our family life and in the church life. We want to be those who are living to the Lord, that all of our time is to live to Him. And then, when we live to the Lord, we learn to follow Him in whatever He would want to do or ask us to do. I'm surprised I never heard that story, Roger. I know you went to Russia, but to be out there in that kind of freezing weather to hand out tracts is not an easy job. But that is one thing the Lord led you to do at that time, to live to the Lord. And there are other, we all have experiences of the Lord leading us in this way or in that way. And that is because we are available to Him and we are living to Him for His move today. And for His move today, there's a lot of need. There's certainly the need for the gospel. There's a lot of need in the churches. There's the need to take care of the children, to take care of the young people, to take care of our college students. There's the need of serving in the body. We give hospitality. We have the brothers over. We give them hospitality. We have a very good time of feeding them and offering them feed and cooking for them. These are all opportunities for us to be full-time for the Lord and to live a full-time life in the body of Christ. I'd like to also read 2 Corinthians 5:15 to you. He died for all, that those who live may no longer live to themselves, but to Him who died for them. I remember when I was new in the church life and young in the church life and being shepherded by many of you in the church life here, one time a saint said to me, you know, I was struggling over giving, over offering, over material offering. And I didn't know quite how much and what to do and this and that. And this dear saint helped me a lot. They said to me, you can never outgive God. Amen. And that struck me. And you know, I've been touched by these hymns in this recent week. One of them is in 452. Let me read this verse to you. This is Tell Me Not of Earthly Pleasures, right? And the chorus is, I am not my own. I belong to Jesus. I am not my own. And verse 3 is this phrase, the stanza that struck me the most. Weary soul, give up the struggle. Cease at length thyself to own. Give yourself away to Jesus and belong to Him alone. And this is the phrase that got me. Once He gave His all to win thee. Now He asks as much of thee. All He has He fully gives thee. Let thy love His portion be. We all know this. I don't know how much we consider it day by day, but He gave His all to win us. He gave up everything. He left the Father's throne to win us. He gave up His being, His deity to win us, and became a lowly man to win us, eventually dying on the cross and suffering on our behalf that our sins could be forgiven. He gave up everything. And now He's asking the same of you. Will you give yourself to the Lord? That is material offering. Give everything to the Lord, all that we have to the Lord. And that fellowship from those saints at that time really helped me. And at that time I thought, take it all. I don't care. It doesn't matter. Because I want to be for the Lord. And the more we give ourselves to the Lord, the happier we are, the freer we are from all the anxiety. You know, money brings a lot of anxiety. You know, it really does. We have to trust that, you know, if we are seeking first His kingdom, He will take care of us. We will not lack. He will take care of us. So we need first to give our whole being to Him, to consecrate our all to Him, because He gave His all for us. And then this morning in the table, we sang a hymn that had a similar phrase, right, in 152. Who can tell of all the wonders which thy love for me has wrought? Yet the greatest of these wonders is that thou to me art brought. Oh, to me thy love has given all thou art as my supply. as true life I now may share thee, and thy riches e'er enjoy. He gave everything to us as our supply. And so we should be those who respond to him to live not to ourselves, but to live to him. Lastly, I'd like to touch the verses we had, I think it was yesterday, Matthew 24:45-46. Let me read them to you. Who then is the faithful and prudent slave whom the master has set over his household to give them food at the proper time? Blessed is that slave whom his master, when he comes, shall find so doing. This is very precious. The Lord is looking for us and asking for us to give ourselves to him. And one thing that he wants us to do is for us to feed one another, right? To be the faithful and prudent slaves whom he has set us over his household. We are over all the members of the household in the church life, in the body life. And our job, our living to him, is to give to the members of the body of Christ, to feed them with Christ, to feed and give our experiences of Christ, our enjoyment of Christ, our time to them, even to give hospitality to and give 70, what was it, eight? $70 for shoes to this brother who's going to go and travel to a foreign land and preach the gospel. We have so many opportunities to feed one another, spiritually, even materially, physically. And this is what the Lord is after. He wants many prudent and faithful slaves to give ourselves, you know, to actually, first of all, we give ourselves to love the Lord with all our heart. And then, because we love the Lord, then we love all the members of his body, all of his brothers and sisters, and we're willing to give to all the members of the body and take care of them and feed them. I've always been touched by these verses, but it really, really struck me this week. You know, whenever we come together, the prayer meetings and the small group meetings and the church meetings and the Lord's Day meetings and the prophesying meetings, my prayer is, Lord, feed the saints. Feed the saints. That everyone who comes together would go away. No one would go away hungry spiritually. No one would go away hungry. And there are times when no one should go away hungry physically either. We have to care for them. But especially that no one would go away hungry, that we all would have something of the Lord ministered to us, something of the Lord that we can feed on, that we can be nourished by, and that we can have the strength and supply to go on in our normal lives, right? In our jobs, or those of us who don't have a job, in our serving, in our families, and those who are students, in their schooling, and in their going on, that we would give ourselves to live to him day by day. Consecrate all that we are to him. I feel, you know, at the end of this year and the beginning of the new year, this is a very good opportunity to give ourselves afresh to the Lord. Consecrate ourselves to the Lord for this next year, for this new year. And that's what the meeting will be, you know, that prayer meeting on Tuesday night, the 31st, will be for, that we could consecrate the church to him, consecrate ourselves to him. And I hope that we all could have a personal experience of a fresh consecration to the Lord. I know all of you are consecrated to the Lord. You've given yourself to the Lord, but he likes to have a fresh renewal of our consecration and renew our love to him and our life to him, that we would be those who live to him day by day and are open to his leading how to take care of one another, you know, and be specific even in our prayer. Who should I call this week? Who should I, you know, invite over to the house this weekend for lunch or however the Lord leads you to serve the saints and to take care of the saints? We need one another, brothers and sisters. Without you, I can't go on. And without me, you can't go on. We all need to go on together. So may we have a fresh consecration to the Lord to live no longer to ourselves, but to him, and gave his all for us, that we would give our all to him.